Still in Mishlei, basically book two, which is the anthology of Proverbs. It's all kind of individual pieces, one at a time. They don't really connect. It's hard to get a whole theme on there. And this one's titled Lipstick on a Pig. We'll see what that means by the end. But this section here is a series of really independent psukim that, on a surface level, are all about practical advice, more Proverbs. But they're taken as metaphors because that's what the book is. It's a book of metaphors for ethics and ethical issues. The first pasuk is Yud Aleph Yud Daled. Without strategy, the nation falls. Salvation comes with having lots of advisors, lots of advice. And that's advice for running a country. Right, that's taking it literally. That's what Mitzvah David says. If you don't have a strategy for fighting a war, as you pull on, then you'll lose. You'll fall into the hands of the enemies. But if you actually have a plan, a strategy for a battle, then you'll be able to win. And Malbim adds the idea of why it's tachbulot, strategies plural. But the word Gamkin al Eitab Milchama, talking about a time of war. Vizela Milchama, Tzrich Yoatzim Rabim. That's when it's Rovio, it's lots of different advisors. Shekol Echad Yemtzi Eitzah Acheret. Everyone's going to have their own ideas. Shekol Eitzah Veitzah, Yeshla Makom Milchama. Every strategy has a place in war. You can't just have one plan and plan, this is what you're going to do, and assume everything's going to work. Shelfamim Ein Eitzah Zu, Lo Tasliach, Neged Oyev. One thing doesn't work, you have to have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. You always need multiple plans. That's why the salvation comes with lots of plans there. But again, Mishlei is not about national politics, but about war, it's about personal ethics. So the Malbim says we're going to take this as a metaphor. Devar Mashal, this is a metaphor, Al Milchama Acheret Pnimit. It's about an internal battle. Against your internal enemy. How do I overcome the Yetzer Hara? The answer is I need to have Tachbulot and Rav Yoetz. I need lots of strategies, right? And we've talked about this idea of Tachbulot before in the introduction, the very beginning of Mishlei. Shlomo said that part of his goal is to teach Tachbulot to the Navon. First Psukim was saying his goal, says Yishma Chacham of Yosef Lekach, the wise will learn more, v'navon tachbulot yikneh. And the understanding one is someone who not just knows, they understand, they drive new truth, they can figure everything out, but they will acquire tachbulot, strategies. So you need humility if you're really smart, but you can't understand everything. The navon requires what we're calling tachbulot, translated as heuristics. Which
What's
means
heuristic? What's that?
the heuristic is we can try, that's our word of the day, that strategies that are discovered experimentally by trial and error rather than reasoned out. When finding an optimal solution is impossible, practical heuristic methods can be used to speed up the process of finding a satisfactory solution. You're not going to figure everything out. You need individual strategies. Okay, in this case, I'm going to do this. I don't know exactly why it works. Just have to have that strategy. And that's why Malbim translates it, Tachbulot, Shosho Chevel. That's from the root of that word is from Chevel, meaning a rope. Shekosher Kamachutin Zebazet, you're tying a number of threads together, that's what Minach Chevelim. You put the little pieces together, make a whole rope. Okay, Yekshur Kama Hekeshim, Zelzeh, so too you have lots of little rules of thumb. Ideas that you're putting together to make the overall solution work. And so it means someone who has lots of strategies for dealing with a problem. Can't be all just in one way. You're not going to figure everything out. Need to have lots of approaches to solving problems. For one thing, one doesn't work, you use the other one. Across in battle. Well-fitted plans aren't as useful as heuristics. As what I'm going to do now, I practice this kind of thing, I can keep going. You have to know how to react in the moment. As Mike Tyson famously said, everybody has plans until they get hit for the first time. Or often put out as everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And so if we're acting in this battle against milchama pnimit against the Yetzer Hara, it is a battle because we may know the right way to act. It's very hard to actually do it. Right? We're built, we're designed to serve in our own interests. We call that Yetzer Hara. It's not evil because we need that urge. You need to work for your own benefit, for your own survival. As Hillel says, "Im ein ani li mi li." But that urge to do that, to be li, to act for me, is we call the Yetzer Hara, because it's not the purpose of our lives. So it continues, "Shani, that's me, ma'ani. If I'm just acting on my behalf, then what am I?" So there's a constant battle, constant dialectic, we'll call the Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov, and that's what you need your Tachbulot, Shlomo say. Know what to do, think about beforehand, and this metaphor of this internal battle, you can see that in the Torah as well, as one of the ways of reading the Parsha of Ki Teitzeh. It says, "Ki Teitzeh le Melchamah," when you go out to war, like Vecha, and against your enemies, to know Hashem Kecha, and Hashem allows you to win, gives the enemy into your hands, Veshivita Shivyo, and you take prisoners. And this is from an essay by Mordechai Eliyahu, who is the Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel, a while back. This is talking about the war against the Yetzer Hara, struggle there. The truth is that when you're fighting the Yetzer Hara, that you can't wait until they come and envelops you and attacks you. Let's say you have to go out and fight it. You have to plan beforehand. And they do that by learning. That's your Tachbulot that Shlomo's talking about. Milchamat fighting Yetzer Hara is a difficult battle. Because it's eternal, every day. Hashem's promising that if you want, you can overcome it. And it says, "Ki milchama," when you go out to war, "Al yeva tatzliach," you will win. "Veshiviti," you'll take him captive. You can do it, but you've got to be aware of it. You got to plan out beforehand. Gotta know what you're doing. If you just react according to your natural instincts, you're gonna lose. Okay, and so that Ramchal and Masirat Yesharim, which is our like the book about Musar, calls that the first step on the Masilat Yesharim, the pathway to becoming righteous, and that's Zihirut, mindfulness. And this is the Masilat Yesharim puts it.
Danny, in modern Hebrew, zehirut is caution.
Yes, but and the way the Ramchal uses it, it's not really being cautious. That's why I would translate it as mindfulness, just being aware.
Yeah.
Knowing what you're getting into when you're making decisions. You have to make sure you're actually making a decision, not just working on inertia. Who idea what he's calling zehirut, minyana. You have to be aware of what you're doing and your thoughts. Klomar, meaning mitbonen. Understand. Keep your eyes open in terms of what you're doing. Atavim, whether, know where, be aware whether they're good or bad. Avdon, without abandoning your nefesh, without abandoning your soul to just do whatever your sort of base instincts want. Ergalo, and not work by. Go by simply by habit, ki iver ba'afela, like a blind man in the dark. And this is something that if you thought about, you know it was true. You have to do it. Because once if a person has some degree of intelligence, to save himself, and to escape from danger. So why would he abandon that? Why do you not try to save yourself, not try to do that thing? There's nothing more foolish than that. And doing this, meaning not thinking about the way you're acting. It's worse than the animals. And the beasts, still, they'll guard themselves. Then you should also know that so this musar, the right way to act, is protecting yourself. Animals will run away from danger. You should do that too. Think before you act, but life requires planning. That's one pasuk. The next pasuk goes from military strategy to financial advice. Zerah yeruah ki arev zar. Bad things happen when you are a guarantor for a stranger. Snei tekaim boteach, and someone who hates handshakes will be secure. And this is talking about guaranteeing a loan. Someone else is borrowing money. They come to you and ask, "Okay, can you co-sign?" And the way the Gra puts it, there are two kinds of guarantors in halacha. Echad arev stam, one is a regular guarantor. Kim lo yishalem halove yishalem hu. That you say, well, if the borrower doesn't pay back, I'll pay it back. You as guarantor are the second one that the lender goes to. Vashinehu nikra erev kablan. That's a halachic term. It's a guarantor who accepts the responsibility. Zeru emarata and the Arev Kablan is someone who basically co-signs the loan. The lender can come to that person immediately. Doesn't have to go try to get payment from the actual borrower. It's a higher degree of responsibility. So this difference, Aravta Mariacha, the Arev is Arev Stam. This is a quote from Perek Vav. The takata, which literally means a handshake, that you're part of the deal itself. So taking literally, this is good advice. Don't guarantee other people's loans. And I've been burned in that far too many times. I say, someone who I know is honest, he'll be fine, but he needs me to co-sign. I have done that. And then 10 years later, I come back and they're asking me for the money.
Danny, that really happened to you, you mean?
More than once. I'm far too nice a guy.
My dad used to say, "Don't lend money if you can't afford to lose it."
Right, but this isn't lending them the money, right? This is, I'm not lending money. I figured I don't have anything to lose. This, the guy's going to pay it back. I just have better credit, fine. So I'll be the guarantor on the loan there. And the other person disappears. Okay, this is the Malbim, so taking it literally. Ruach ki arev zar, that bad will happen when you are a guarantor for a stranger.
When
I
it says strangers, what does it mean by that?
have to
Is
see that.
it
Mean
not relative?
right, so he's saying here that the difference between a stranger and a relative. Right, so he's saying, so he's going to quote Mishlei later on where it says, you should love your neighbor, but and a brother was created for trouble. Meaning you should support your neighbor, your brother. That you need to support your friends. Whatever you can. You should be willing to guarantee a loan for someone who you know, who's a rea. Still, you still shouldn't do this tkiyat kaf of the Arev Kablan, which is again that's greater responsibility to Arvut Kablanut. Yeah, even if it's for your brother, don't do that, Shlomo is saying, because you can't afford it. That's your father's advice, right? About don't lend money, it's just you can afford to lose it. Don't guarantee the loan. The Misha Arev Ba'adzar, but if you get a guarantor for a complete stranger, shoot, even for any kind of guarantee, Rat Yeruah, that bad things happen. That's a bad thing. Gamla Re'ah, and even for your neighbors, again, this is something you're close to, Shemuchach La'arev Yadav, that you should get act as a guarantor for them. Stucker. If you hate the idea of being a Arev Kablan, then you'll be much more secure. Don't take that much responsibility. You should not have any faith in your neighbor. Because the lender is going to come to you first. Which sounds similar to Polonius' advice to his son. Everyone remembers Hamlet. Okay, which is a great speech. Polonius is like one of the bad guys in Hamlet, but he has a long speech of advice to his son, which starts out, "These few precepts in thy memory, look thou character. Give thy thoughts no tongue, nor any proportion to thought, it's his act," which was last week's chapter on silence is golden, don't talk. "And then neither a borrower nor a lender be, for loan oft loses both itself and friend." If you lose money, if you lend money, you're not going to get the money back. You're going to lose the loan, and you'll probably lose the friendship of a person you lend money to if they can't pay you back either. And then he adds, "Then borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry." That if you're borrowing money, then you're not going to be careful with your money. So better not, neither borrower nor lender be. So he sounds like here, Shlomo was saying, don't lend money, because even to a friend, you're going to end up losing it. But here, Shlomo was talking not about being a lender, but being a guarantor, because you're supposed to lend money, because that's a form of tzedakah.
I was
But
going
you're
to say the Torah sort of tells you not to withhold your hand from your
right. That's
brother.
what I'm going to quote right now. That you have to lend. That's helping someone else. That's great. And it says, that if there's a poor person, one of your brothers within your gates and your land that Hashem gives you, don't harden your heart. Don't hold back your hand from your poor brother. Keep a talk to Yadcha low. You should open your hand to him, havei tavitenu, lend him money. They machzor, whatever he's lacking, asher yachzar lo, whatever he's lacking. Should lend. That's a good thing. Because the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I'm commanding you, therefore, I'm telling you, open your hand, give to the poor person, and lending counts as that. But Mishlei isn't about financial advice, but ethics. So Gra takes this as a metaphor about not being a guarantor. What does it mean to be a guarantor in the sense of ethics? He says it's talking about when I'm teaching, giving advice, I am taking some of the responsibility for your actions because you're going to listen to me. So be careful about what you're teaching. If you're the teacher, or getting the pronouns right, if I'm teaching, then I have to be careful what I say, because if you listen to me and you get it wrong, then I'm responsible. I'm the arev in that sense, the guarantor in that sense. He says there are two kinds of guarantors in that sense, corresponding to the arev stam and arev kablan, depending on how responsible I am. Lomdim Torah, so teaching Torah. I teach you something in arev stam. That's like a guarantor in general. That the teacher needs to be careful that not that the person learning doesn't stumble, doesn't misunderstand what they're saying. Teach well, and they shouldn't make a mistake. Because if I teach you and you do something wrong based on my advice, then I'm responsible. But again, that's a step away from that. You don't have to take my advice. But in Tikata Lazar Kapecha, but this second line, the Arav Kaplan, where you're immediately responsible no matter what, that's like being a judge. If I'm a judge, then you have to listen to me. And if I tell you the wrong thing, you are going to do it wrong. I, as a judge, am immediately responsible. This is like the immediately liable guarantor, the cosigner, the judge is literally in the place of the litigants. Mamash, for real. judge saying you need to take the money and give it to the other person. That's wrong. It's entirely judge responsibility. Is it below ratzon bal din? It's against the will of the litigants. Hare machnitz asmo ka'arev kablan. That's having responsibility. But someone's saying you'd be careful in both those cases. So the arev stam in this metaphor is a teacher who's liable if the student goes astray. So that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot from Avtalyan Omer, Chachamim hezhiru b'divreichem. Chachamim, you have to be careful what you say. Shema tachovu chovat galut, lest you end up being liable to go to exile, tiglu makom mayim ra'im, you'll be exiled to a place of bad water. Metaphor for bad Torah, for where they're not learning correctly, v'yamutu. And your students will drink from your water, your Torah, and they're going to die. They're going to misunderstand what you said. And God's name will be disgraced. Rambam explains that, saying that you need to be careful with what you're saying to people. And be sure that your words are not ambiguous. Anashim kofrim. Because if there are people listening to you who already are doubting, are have heretical thoughts, they're trying to warp what you're saying. If for sure tam kefiyam tam, they'll interpret what you said according to their beliefs. Tamidim kvar tam mehem, and your students will hear them speaking. They'll end up being heretics. Be careful what you say; it can be misinterpreted. And your students will believe that that is what you meant. Now your students will all be misinterpreting what you said. The example that's given is in when Antigonus Yisocho in Pirkei Avot said that you should serve Hashem without any expectation of reward. And his students, the Tzaddikim, said, obviously, there is no reward, there's no Olam Haba, there's no justice in the world. That's what he meant, right? Serve God without any. That's not what he meant. Still be careful, right? You're obligated to teach. Don't not teach. But look for, as he puts it, don't be the Arei for the Zar, for the stranger. In terms of the metaphor we said before, this, in book one, it's talking about the Isha Zarah, this foreign wisdom. That be sure that your words don't end up being that Isha Zarah. And the second kind of guarantor, the Arav Kablan, is the judge. One is responsible for what happens. The judge has the authority to force that action. And in Pirkei Avot, that's Avtalion's partner with Shemaiah, and he would say, Snot Rabbanut, hate leadership. That doesn't mean hate being a rabbi. But a lot of rabbis hate being a rabbi.
Authority? Does
What?
it mean hate authority?
Authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't hate being in a position of authority. Right? Yeah.
Oh, hate wanting to be the leader or something like that?
Right. And we'll talk about that. You don't not be the leader, but don't enjoy it. As the Barnura says, don't try to be the leader, be authority over other people. Because authority buries its owner. It's bad for your health. And that's a quote from the Gemara in Brachot. It said, why did Yosef die before the brothers? He was in a position of authority. He was in charge of them all. He acted that way, and that just saps your strength. The Navi says about Shmuel at the end of his life that he was very old before he died. And if you add the numbers up, he was 52,
Wow, that sounds old.
which used to sound really old. It's not that old anymore. But the Gemara says about that, I didn't quote it in here because he was a position of Sarara. It just sucks all the energy out of you there. But yeah, just like being a teacher, like being in a position of Rabbanut and in being in teacher of position of being a Rav, in terms of being a Torah, teaching Torah, you can't hide from it. So you got to do it, but don't do it for the sake of being in charge of other people. That's Shlomo's message. And there's a nice midrash here, Midrash Tanchuma. What is this? What is this? Sorry. This is a quote from later in Mishlei when it says, "Melech b'mishpat na yamid eretz," that a king in just a just king establishes the world or establishes the land, secures the land. Vish trumot, the person of trumot, literally of yes, who expects bribes, Yar Sinai will destroy it. But the Midrash says each trumot is talking about truma. We separate part of the produce to give to the Kohen, Ishuma Yosena, a person of Truma will destroys the land. Imisim Adam Atzmo Truma. If you consider yourself like Truma, that means to be an Ish Truma. Azu, Shemoshlachet B'Zavita Bayit. It's holy, it's separated from the rest of the produce. It's sitting there in the corner. Yomerin, you say, Mali B'Torah HaTzibor. What do I have to Why should I bother with the rest of the community? Mali b'ninehem. Why should I deal with their troubles, with their laws? Mali yishmael kolam. Why should I listen to them? If you're in a position to be a judge, to be a dayan, to be a leader, and you say, that's too much trouble, I can be like the Truman and sit there in the corner. Shalom lacha nafshi. My soul will be happy by itself. Harezim mecharevet ha'olam. That destroys the world. Have a ish truma, trumot yosef. That's what it means to be a person who is a truma, destroys the world. We have to participate. Master Rabbi Asi, kshem mistalek min ha'olam. I quoted this like 2 weeks ago in the Chumash class, that when Rabbi Asi was dying, nichnas ben achoto etzlo, his nephew came, matzah bocha, and saw him, Rabbi Asi crying. Amar leh, his nephew says, Rabbi, why are you crying? Is there any Torah that you haven't learned, that you haven't taught? That even with all your greatness, you weren't involved in dinim, in judging and dealing with other people. You didn't take authority for yourself to be in charge of the public. Don't cry, you're such a wonderful person. Amalei, so he says, B'ni, Aladi Bochai. He says, no, my son, that's what I'm crying about. Shema otan ten din b'cheshbon. That's less when I go to heaven, I have to give an account. Al Shayiti Yachol Asotinam to Israel, that I could have been involved, but I wasn't. The fact that I wasn't is not a good thing. I think Yashera. That's what it means that a person who is like Truma destroys the world. You have to participate. And this was a quote from my friend about this, that Truma is holier than Chulin. It's set aside on its own. The man of Truma that the Medrash refers to is a person who considers himself like Truma. He feels that he's above the masses that are Chulin. He feels I don't need all this and refuses to start selling himself for the needs of the common people. Let me do my own thing. Let me be for myself. I'd be like Truma set aside in the corner. This edit of the Medrash states is destructive. Lesson we must take from the Medrash is that not only those who are worthy to be judges must occupy themselves with the congregational needs, we are all caught with the pond. In many occasions, in many circumstances, get involved. Become the chairman to sit on the committee. I hate committees. I hate meetings. I will not do meetings. And this is telling me that I'm Ish Trumot, okay? I'm going to sit on the side and not get involved. Everyone knows that sit on a committee and been involved with communities knows it's full of aggravation. It's so easy to take the attitude I don't. So you can't do that, but you still need to be soneh to quote Boter, right? Don't like it, right? The Mishnah says sinat rabbanut, but you still have to do it. Don't do it for the sake of the glory. Do it anyway. There's a balance there. The next pasuk is another metaphor. It's an isha. Someone likes the metaphor of women.
I was going to say, it keeps coming back to the woman.
He does. That's Shlomo. He likes his women. Okay. So Eshet Chen Timtoch Kavod, a woman of grace supports honor or status. Baritzim, which in modern Hebrew means a tyrant, comes to the root for fear. So those who inspire fear, Yitmoch Osher, support wealth. And that's this weird idea of an aritz from Devarim when it says, V'mar lechem lo tarisuna v'lo tirun mehem. Moshe is telling Ben Israel, don't be afraid, don't be terrified of aritz. And we talk about with God that Yirat Hashem, when we say naritzcha v'naktishcha in Kedusha, that's let us declare your awesomeness, that like we have awe there. So that's an aritz, someone who inspires awe. But the idea is that Eshet Chen, here it's a different metaphor than in book one, where I was talking about wisdom. That the different Ishas, the wisdom you're trying to learn. Here it says the metaphor, the sense of self. That's what's in you, your soul. That's the Malbim, Yishotava, Shemas, Mames, She Masiget Chen, a woman who symbolizes grace, Adem Maaseh Tovim, because of her good deeds. That's literal meaning of Eshet Chen. Olafia Mitzila, but on the metaphor is Nefesh Yekara, a good soul, Tova, Bachachma, that's wise, that's good. Shia Isha Hamlitz Militzit B'Sefer Zeh. That's the metaphor of the woman in this book, in this section here. That your neshama should be have chen. And the contrast between the Isha Eshet Chen and the Isha Aritza. The Nefesh Chen and the Nefesh Aritz. Is your soul grace or is it? How do you deal with other people? Are you one who inspires Chen and grace or you one who inspires fear? Someone's telling us that Aritzim Yitmuchu Osher, if you inspire fear, you can get money. You get power. You may want that, right? That's a famous quote from Machiavelli. Upon this, the question arises: whether better to be loved than feared, or feared than loved? When we should wish to be both, but because it's difficult to unite them in one person, it's much safer to be feared than loved. That's not necessarily better, but certainly safer. So that's the Osher. You get the wealth there, but you need to treat others with great with chen. Treat others well. That's when you're going to get the kavod, the honor, the status in the eyes of others. That's his advice. As they say, you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar, which is a metaphor because it's not literally true. If you actually want to catch flies, then vinegar works better than honey. But in terms of you're dealing with other people, being nice gets you further. Then we continue on. Next pasuk is about asceticism, about being good for yourself. Gomel nafsho ish chesed. A person of kindness is someone who redeems themselves, but ocher she'ero and torturing your own flesh, achzari, is a cruel person. So taking literally, making yourself suffer means you'll end up being cruel to others. And that's what Sira David says, Misha gomel tov l'nafsho. If you want good things for yourself, hametavelet la de machzara hachrachi, that you want to fulfill your own needs. You're not trying to starve yourself, not trying to make yourself suffer. Lamidab, keep yourself healthy. Vade ish chasid, you'll be a chasid. Yachmol, if you care about yourself, you also care about others. Basar, but someone who afflicts their own flesh, causes himself to suffer. This idea of asceticism. Umari vasmo and starves yourself, kiachush al mamon, because you're stingy, kosher can't chew achzari al azula, you're not going to care about others as well. Yes, in Judaism, asceticism is forbidden. You can, right? There are specific limited fast days, but you can't just go torture yourself. And that's from and that interpretation of this pasuk, gomel nafsho chesed. So if you're good to yourself, then you're a person of chesed, zehil al zaken. That's what Hillel did this. Then he went, when he was leaving his students, hey, mahalech b'alech imayim, imam, he would go with them. Tamidav, and so the students said, Rabbeinu, hechan atolech? Rabbi, where are you going? I'm going to do a mitzvah. So what mitzvah are you going to go do? I'm going to the bathhouse. I'm going to take a bath. He said, that's a mitzvah. I'm going to hand hen. So he says, yep, that's a mitzvah. And, just if an ikonin, that icon, statues of a king the Romans, put them up in their theaters and their circuses. That there's someone paid to take care of these statues and keep them clean, and he earns a living that way. He's a great person, keeping these images of the king clean. I am creating the image of God. I should keep my body clean and healthy too. To be b'tzelem, so much more. So to take care of myself is a mitzvah because I am creating b'tzelem. Which we're saying here will go apply to everybody else as well. I can take care of myself, I'll take care of other people as well. And Amar Shmuel, we know the famous Gemara in Tanit, Kol Yoshev B'Tanit Nikra Chote. Fast, if you're fasting, you're called a sinner. Don't make yourself suffer. Severki Tana, he holds like the Tana of Rabbi Lezer, HaKapar. Ben Rebbe Omer, he says, Matol Omer, when the Torah says, nafesh, that the Nazir, when he ends his period in his Zirut, right, he's sworn he's not going to drink wine, not going to become tamei, not cut his hair. At the end of that period, he has to bring a korban chatat, a sin offering. What do you mean he sinned? Why does he have to bring a sin offering after being a Nazir? Because he refused to drink wine. Right? Don't hold yourself back from a pleasure that's permissible. And obviously, and this is a kavachomer, obviously true. If you're only holding back from drinking wine, you're called a sinner because you had to bring a karmachata. You're not eating anything. Fasting, akar kama makama. Can't do it. This is the Yerushalmi similarly. Says B'Shem Rav, Atira Adam Litein Din V'Cheshbon Kol Shereita Shera'a Eino Lo Achal. You're going to have to give account after 120 for everything that you saw that you had the opportunity to enjoy in this world, but you didn't. Enjoy the world. And Shlomo was saying, because holding yourself back kind of almost implies you're willing to make other people hold back, and that creates cruelty in you about others as well. Rashi, however, has a different approach. And he says, when it says someone who is ocher she'er, someone afflicts his own flesh, is talking about family, not himself. So gomel nefesh, is Rashi, is gomel tova l'korvav. You're good to your family. That's an ish chesed. That's an act of chesed. Doesn't have to be with a stranger. Charity begins at home. Ocher she'er ero achzari, but rejecting your family is cruel. Achzari ocher is korvav. Someone who causes his family to suffer. That's cruel. You know the joke, right? The story of the wealthy lawyer solicited for a charitable donation, replied, do you realize my mother's dying of long-term illness, has medical bills several times her income? Do you know my brother, disabled veteran, is blind in a wheelchair? Do you understand my sister's widowed and penniless with three dependent children? Well, since they don't give any money to them, why should they give any money to you? No laugh at all on that.
That's an old one, Danny.
It is an old one. That's what it means to be Rashi's idea of ocher she'er achzari, cruel. Okay? And that's the rule too. You have to get, that just charity begins at home. Whoop, let me go. Yeah. Gemara says, Tani de Rav Yosef. The pasuk says, "Im kesef tovet ami, right? If you're going to lend money et ami to my people, et ani imach, the poor who's with you, those are important. It's ami and it's imach with you. Ami v'goy ami kodem. Someone from your people, other people, your people come first. Ani v'ashir, poor person, rich person, ani kodem, and certainly the poor person comes first. Ani yecha v'ani erecha. Your poor, meaning your family, as opposed to other poor people in the city, aniyecha kodmim. Your family comes first. Aniyeh erecha v'aniyeh iracheret. Your local needs and outside needs, aniyeh erecha kodmim. Your local needs comes first. And I'll tell that to the mishulachim who are coming to the door, that it's local needs really need to give first.
So, Danny, you tell him that or no?
I will. I mean, I will give something. Coming to the door, I'll give you something, but substantial donations, they got to go locally. I'd say, it's ani yechav ani erecha v'aniyei iracheret ani erecha kodmim. And Yeshaya says similarly, hello pras l'rev l'chmecha, give the poor your bread, v'aniyim merudim tavi bayit, and bring the oppressed poor into your house. Ki tireh arem b'chizito, you see someone who has no clothing, clothe them. U'b'sarcha lo titaleim, and don't hide yourself from your own. Says, right? Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, that's true for anyone. You have to do it for everyone. But if it's family, you're more obligated. You see someone poor, don't hide yourself from them. That don't wait for the person to have to ask for the money to survive. Al chayev lo lend to him, give him the opportunity to profit. Support them before they become poor. See what your family needs. There's a higher level obligation, and it's an important principle. And I say that's what Shmuel is saying here, because it's not obvious, right? Because we've talked about effective altruism, strict utilitarianism. Says that all suffering is equally morally wrong. And then caring about those just because they're close to us is evil. Right? You got to call about all human beings equally. And even more than any being equally, right? And this is the basis of PETA and that a chicken, a rat is a chicken as a boy. But I disagree with that. But that's famously Peter Singer. You've heard of him. He's an ethicist at Princeton. Very big on animal rights. And again, he would hold that animals have the same rights as human beings. And his point is that everyone has the same moral authority. And therefore, if you don't helping those who are far away, you're a terrible person.
If you don't help faraway people, you're a terrible
Right.
person.
Right. The fact that that someone's close to you does not give them a greater moral authority yet, then greater claim on your charity than someone else. Now, I think someone was
Does it
specific.
give them less?
Well, the people in third world countries are need it more. You should give it to them. I'm disagreeing with him. Okay? I think Shlomo was disagreeing. But this is Singer's comment. The fact that a person is physically near us, but we have personal contact with him, may make it more likely we shall assist him. But this does not show that we ought to help him rather than another who happens to be further away. It makes the moral difference whether the person I can help is a neighbor's child 10 yards from me or a Bengali whose name I shall never know, 10,000 miles away. Someone was telling us Peter Singer is wrong. And the reason is subtle. It's because Peter Singer is an atheist. And he says this, okay, that part of what he is, he's a utilitarian who thinks there's an absolute way of figuring out what moral right is, and we're going to add the numbers up, and that's it. But being an atheist means that the only good that exists is the good that he does, that human beings do. If human beings don't care about humanity as a whole, then no one will. And so, in the big picture of the entire world, then that Bengali is the same as a neighbor's child. He was specifically looking at in the 70s, the famine in Bengal. We have faith in that in the big picture, Hashem is running the world, which means that I am not in charge of making sure that the world is run in a moral way. The reason why I do chesed, why I do tzedakah, is because it makes me a better person. That's my purpose for existing. It's not actually to make the world as a whole better. I do not have to solve every problem out there. I make all of my moral calculations based on what makes everything better. It's really local, and I am becoming a better person. As the Baker Rabbah puts it, Tani Rabbi Yeshua, Yoteri Masha Bala Bayit Oseh Ima Ani. More than the rich person who's giving charity to the poor does for the poor person. Ani Oseh Bala Bayit. The poor person is doing a bit more for the Bala Bayit, for the person giving them. Shekhen, right? That's making the Bala Bayit a better person. Shekhen Rut Omer Lanami, because as Rut says to Nami, after Rut has gone into the fields of Boaz and collected the leket. Shema Isha shared Asiti Imo Hayom Boaz, the person that I literally Asiti Imo, I did with for him, his name was Boaz. Asher Asaimi, not what he did for me in Katif Khan, Ella Asher Asiti Imo, that I did for him. Amrullah Harbe Polot for Tavot Asiti Imo, I did good for him by giving him the opportunity to give tzedakah, which feel prusash natanli for that one bit of bread that he gave me. And so the tzedakah for those we see affects us more than abstract good. And that's why, if you have a choice, aniyei recha kodmim. And so Shlomo continues that it's the tzaddik is basically what tzidkut is in doing ratzon Hashem. That's Shlomo's message here. But you can't be a real utilitarian. You can't figure out what's going to do the most good in the world. Because you have no idea what the consequences of your action are. You're not that smart. You can't predict the future. You can predict, 5 minutes from now, I give a piece of bread to a hungry person, it'll help. But in 50 years, what are the consequences of that? 100 years, we have no idea. It continues on about the nature of good and evil. Rasha oseh pu'ulat sheker. The Rasha does acts that are lies, that have no good, that have no truth to them, that have no impact on the world. Zera tzedakah, schar emet. But the zera tzedakah, the outcome of tzedakah is the true reward. Kain tzedakah, true tzedakah, l'chaim leads to life. U'mardef ra'ah, chasing evil, the moto ends up in death. Tovat Hashem ikshe lev. God hates those who have warped intentions. But so no, we made derech. Those who do his will, those are the ones who are stay on the path. And we'll end this section with two lines that I think are connected. It's not obvious in the words, but look at what it says. Yad liyad lo yidakera. No one knows what that means. Yad liyad. One hand to the next will not atone for evil. The zera tzedakim nimaleit, and the children of tzaddikim will be saved. Nezim zahav ba'af chazir, a gold ring in the ear of a pig. Yisha yafa tam, is a woman who is beautiful but has no reason, has no intelligence. So that last one sounds like a pretty understandable kind of proverb, as it were. It's like a gold earring in a pig's ear, rather a woman who is beautiful but has no intelligence. And again, Yisha here is a metaphor for the nefesh, for oneself, one's soul. Having beauty but no reason is like putting an earring on a pig. Okay, again, it's like the putting lipstick on a pig expression. So it doesn't help the pig, it's still a pig. And I looked this up here. That was the thing that Ann Richards said a lot, that you not, is it like one of those deals where you put lipstick on a hog and call it a princess? Or talking about George Bush, Ann Richards said, you can put lipstick on a hog and call it Monique, but it's still a pig. So he's saying that this Isha Yafa V'Sara Tam, a beautiful woman who lacks sense, is the same way. The beauty is worthless. It says in terms of metaphor, that's your neshama that tries to do a few generous acts. They're very showy and obvious, but you can't make up for a lifetime of cruelty. And then the Midrash says on that, that's what yad liyad. One hand to the next will not appease. Meaning if I steal with one hand and give charity with the other hand, that doesn't make up for the sin. That's the Midrash on that. Yad liyad lina kara, bore. Person have two hands, has two hands. Im gonev b'chad, Steal with one, retain tzedakah b'acharet, and give charity with the other one. Lo yinakeh, you will not be acquitted. You will not be found innocent. You can't make up for your theft by giving tzedakah. That so Hashem will tell the Rasha'im, I created two worlds. Right? Gave you one that you're supposed to do mitzvot, and then the rewards in the next one. That you're now, you didn't have to do the masim tovim while you were in this world. You're not going to get. You want the reward now. Adam that if you, what you're doing is you're showing me, oh, I have these mitzvot, but really you were stealing with one hand and giving with the other one. That's yadli yadli in a kera. That's putting an earring on a pig, a lipstick on the pig. Tem tzorim gehenam, that will not. You will not be acquitted. Yochanan, mashallah, like a person who did a sin, naskara, went to a harlot. And Peter, look, he speak, let's say, mi petach beta, and as he was walking out of her house, ad shepaga bo ani yachad, a poor person comes to him. I'm going to retain tzedakah, natan lavalachlo. He gives tzedakah as he's walking out. Zonah. Obviously, God wants to give me a chance to atone for what I did. That's why God sent me this opportunity to give tzedakah. Great. Tzedakah, and I will now be it'll be atoned. I'm like Kosh Baruch Hu, Russia, no, that's not how it works. Al Tachshov Kein, Alech Lomon Machel Matoshel Shlomo. What Shlomo says, Amar Yad Li Yad Li Yakaru. Right. You can't just do one obvious showy act and undo everything and make up for all the sins you've done. It's your consistency that matters. And that's where it says the Zera, there it is, Pasuk here, Zera Tzedikim Yimaleit, and the seed, the progeny of the Tzedikim will be his salvation. And the Zera are your good deeds. It says by Noach, Elo Todot Noach, this is Noach's generations. This is his progeny, is Noach Ish Tzadik. That's what he left in the world. Tovim, that the basically the Todot, the generations of a Tzadik, is their good deeds. That's what they're remembered by, and that's what saves them. Don't try to put lipstick on the pig. We'll stop here. We should be able to learn next week. Is that right? And after that, we'll be out.
Yes, next week is still good.
Okay.
Well, thank you,
All right.
Danny.
We'll
Thank you,
stop
Danny.
here.
Have a good